It's KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. Seattle filmmaker Derek McNeil felt uncomfortable when he heard talk about homeless people. He heard assumptions, negative assumptions, not a lot of empathy, so he set out to learn the stories of the people living in Nicholsville. It was a homeless encampment on South Dearborn Street that was removed last year by the city. McNeil's new documentary is called Road to Nicholsville. One of the people featured in it is Colin McCready, a former Nicholsville resident. Colin and Derek, thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
Derek, I'm going to start with you,
yes.
Filmmaker. What got you interested in Nicholsville?
I first got interested from watching the morning news. I had seen, you know, the Nicholsville encampment was always moving around the city. But what caught my attention was the sea of pink tents. And so, and that's what made me stop in my tracks. And it was that moment I sort of realized that homelessness in Seattle was more than it was more extreme than I'd ever seen in my life, in as much as it was organized. So
the visual of the, was it the number of pink tents?
It was that they were all the same color.
Could have been
any color, but they were all the same color, uniformly spread out. There were so many of them. And what it said was that there was a certain level of organization. It was beyond just random tents here and there. I mean, I think everyone who's lived in or near a city is familiar with homelessness. They've seen folks that are homeless. But this was a whole new level. It said that it was organized. It said that there was a huge number. It said that somebody, some other external organization was getting involved, thus the color. So immediately it said a lot of things to me, that things were dramatically different than I thought they were. And so that's when it first got my attention.
It's interesting, the power of that visual.
Yeah.
And before this time, what did you know about homelessness?
It's a subject that's been near and dear to my heart most of my life. I myself have been homeless once before. Back in the 90s, when I moved from Boulder, Colorado up to Alaska, I ran out of money and I was late getting to the fishing industry. It's a long story, but I ended up out on the street and, you know, fortunately I ran into someone who took me under her wing and I worked on her farm. I've been there. I've been at the end of my rope. I've been, you know, where I had nothing left and I was sort of at the mercy of this person. Otherwise, I would have been on the street. And it was just a string of circumstances. So I feel as though I can relate. But I'm surrounded by a lot of people that talk about the subject, water cooler conversation. And a lot of it is, well, you know, they're X. And there's a lot of sort of conjecture, which really irritates me, having been in that situation myself and having been around homeless people, having been homeless myself. And so it really bothered me when I would hear people talk about the homeless population, sort of paint them with a broad brush, because I knew better personally. And, you know, when I'd hear it on the news, the neighborhoods are complaining that Nicholsville was moving to their neighborhood. And there was a lot of fear and anxiety. And I felt like a lot of it was unfounded. You know, like, sure, there are dangerous people in the population or alcoholics or drug addicts, but there's also a lot of people who are just families, you know.
So you went to Nicholsville yourself with your camera.
Yes.
You met some of the residents, including Colin. Colin, you were living, this is on South Dearborn?
Yes.
And you were there because you had adopted a dog named Gracie after your friend's sister had suddenly died. And your landlord had told you had 3 days to get rid of this dog, Gracie, or you had to move out. And what happened after that?
Well, then I went back to my friend and says, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with Gracie? What am I going to do with Gracie? And she said, well, I don't know. I says, I can't find an apartment in Seattle in 3 days, let alone one that'll have a dog with me. And she says, well, I've got people that I know that live in Nicholsville, and they're pet friendly. And I says, Nicholsville? Isn't that dirty, crummy place over on where people are living in tents on Dearborn? And she says, yeah, but she says, you know, they're pet friendly. And I said, well, I'm not living in a tent. She said, well, just for the time being, just until you find a place. Okay, all right. So I went over and they welcomed both of us with open arms, myself and Gracie. Gracie loved it. There's open fields around and she just loved it over there. And it was, I don't mind living in a tent. I mean, I go camping anyway. So it was not a big hardship for me.
Colin, do you care whether a viewer sees your story and thinks, oh, see, homeless people don't need as much help as they say. This fellow enjoys the camping.
No, as soon as Derek approached me, I had already been living in Nicholsville. I had already been very proactive trying to dilute the stereotype message, the negative message already. And that had already adopted that as part of my agenda.
What is that negative message you're talking about?
Well, that homeless people are shiftless, they're worthless, they're not worth helping. There's no chance for them to ever pull themselves up and become productive citizens who can take care of themselves. And I wanted to be a part of to bring a more positive message, to give a more balanced point of view.
Having lived in Nicholsville, is there something that you believe the city and the taxpayers ought to be doing about this homelessness crisis?
Yes. Yes, living in a tent was not a physical hardship for me, but it's very difficult to... the infrastructure isn't really there to go out and look for work, to improve yourself, find gainful employment.
Why is it hard to find employment if you're in...
Well, there's no showers, there's no water. Mm-hmm. There's no. Mm-hmm. I mean, just cooking... preparing food and washing up afterwards is very difficult and that kind of thing. But since I've had an apartment through Low Income Housing Institute, and I was able to go out for job interviews, I was able to shower and shave and make my appointments and do all the things that anybody would need to do. In the meantime, I've got a really good job. I've got good employment. And that's the point, is to get people independent. And as you say, the city and other organizations try to help people. So it isn't just continuing to put money into people that are stagnant. They don't go anywhere. They don't get ahead. They don't improve. My message is work with the people that you can work with who can get ahead. Retrain, re-educate, whatever, because it works. It does work.
So, Derek, you met Colin, and there's a whole bunch of stories at Nicholsville.
The great thing about the group that I ended up with, and I had several volunteers, and I sort of netted out with Colin and a few others, was I wanted to get a range of people. Colin represents one end of the spectrum. He's a white man. He's had a fairly average middle-class life. He's fairly okay with the situation. He's a survivor. On the other end of the spectrum, there are folks who are minorities and who have suffered childhood trauma. There's a whole range and who have grown up with different socioeconomic statuses. So the group as a whole was a wide range. And that was kind of more of what I wanted to convey with the film, is that there is no simple answer. There is no simple solution. There is no one homeless person. There are a range of people with a range of problems and a range of their own solutions. So the film doesn't try and solve the problem. It presents essentially a range of folks who are in this place and time and what they're going through personally. And it's just for the audience to sort of like walk away and think, and I'm hoping that people have mixed feelings and hear Colin and think, well, you know, he figured it out. Not so bad. And I think that's fine. And I think there are other people who haven't figured it out and they're far worse off. And there are people in between.
Derek, you said that you're not pragmatic about this. You're an artist and you're portraying people. Mm-hmm. I won't ask you about what to do about homelessness, but I wonder, how has making this documentary changed you?
I'm just like anyone else in that I've dreamed of... a big house and two cars. I've had the sort of American dream in my head. I've dreamed of boats and whatever material life you can think of. I think since having been at Nicholsville and spent some time with these folks, I don't think I could do that and enjoy it anymore. Like, I would never quite feel right knowing that I had more than I really needed in this world, having seen firsthand how people are suffering, or at the very least, just really struggling. And it would just never, and I'm not saying anyone else should feel that way. That's just for me personally. It's changed like what I want from the world and what I'd feel comfortable having materialistically.
Colin, when someone drives down Dearborn, Rainier, I-5, wherever, sees that those pink tents or those that encampment, what do you want people to think?
That is a wake-up call. And when you drive down the street and you see tents, especially in the unorganized encampments where there is no infrastructure at all, there's no garbage collection, there's no toilet facilities, and that's why you see all the garbage out in front and it looks so tacky, that it's a false illusion. It's an illusion to think that you're removed from that and that would never happen to you. And that is really what people should be thinking, that for the grace of God, that's you, or a member of your family, because there's no guarantee you're going to have the lifestyle that you've got next week or next month.
Colin McCready and filmmaker Derek McNeil, the documentary is The Road to Nicholsville. Thanks for this conversation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, this Sunday, the Northwest Film Forum in Seattle is screening that documentary, The Road to Nicholsville. That's coming up at 7 o'clock this Sunday at the Northwest Film Forum. You've been listening to KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Glad you've tuned in today.